Welcome back to Cast Me to Hell with me, Seb.
And with me, Robbie.
And here we are, straight from the cinema, after seeing Abigail.
Yep. I think this one would have been a lot better had they not given away so much in the trailer.
Absolutely. I literally had this thought midway through, especially with the way the film kind of plays out. And this is a spoiler-free, so yeah. You are in a safe space here.
Yes, this is a safe space.
We are not going to give away any main things now. Obviously, though, we do stick within what is at least in trailers, because that's been public knowledge, and it is, if you read the synopsis, it's even there. So if you've gone completely blind, I mean like nothing, like you haven't seen... And therefore, the film would work fantastically well. Then, you know, fuck off now.
If you haven't watched the film and you want to know whether it's good, it's really good. Now, fuck off. Subscribe. Leave us a lovely review. But fuck off.
Yeah, and literally.
Watch the film.
They told me to fuck off.
They told me to fuck off.
Because that's
five
how
stars.
This podcast works.
That's how we work.
I'm just already telling you all to just leave. Basically, just leave. Get out of here. What are you doing here? Why are you listening to two white British males?
Talk about
it's film. 2024. Find something more diverse.
Yeah, find something else. Find something better than us. I think... So we were talking about the... It's made by the same people who did Scream 5, 6, Ready or Not.
Yeah.
I thought...
Devil's Due, which was another one, which was from a couple of years ago, which I remember seeing, but not... I was just checking because I was like, is that all they've done is the Scream and the Ready or Not? But they also did that one. That one wasn't well received, but everything else they've done...
They did a VHS, didn't they?
Oh, they've also did like... That. They've done like two or three of them, I think. Yeah. They've been part of that.
They were, I thought Radio Silence was like the company, as opposed to some pseudonym.
Duo.
It's the duo name, it's the tag team name. But it very much feels in the vein of like Ready or Not, effectively.
It does,
It's
there's a few things that I think it like call, I don't know if it's callback or just their style, but it's like, there are a few things that you would have seen if you have seen Ready or Not that you will kind of be like, yeah, they kind of did that in that film too.
Yeah, they did very similar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people online are having that kind of fan theory that they're in the same universe.
Yeah.
And I could see that, you know. It feels very much in that spirit. It was surprisingly in 18. We had some num-num, a.k.a. food, before we went to see that. And I perfectly walked in expecting it to be a 15. And when he said it was an 18, I was like, oh, I'm pleasantly surprised at that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it is an 18 due to the level, maybe, of blood that there is. But when I say level of blood, the one thing I would say is that even though it's level of blood, I wouldn't necessarily say that when it comes to, say, deaths within the film, that I wouldn't say that they were like mega, mega violent or mega, like shocking. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That kind of level. So when a lot of the reviews that you'll read, like that, like I had a little scan on like Rotten Tomatoes, things like that, just to have a little thing, and a lot of them kind of straight away say, this is like a really bloody, like, over-the-top violent film. I'm not saying it's not a violent film, I'm just saying, I just don't think it's like a, it's not like a mega, like, oh my god, they did that kind of thing, kind of like death. Kind
yeah.
of thing, you see what I mean? To keep it within.
It's not kind of
specifics.
It's not massively gory, but it does have gore.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's like weird to say, like, it's not massively gory and like a, I don't know, like a specific, like, people getting harmed in that, oh my god, how did you just do that to someone kind of
like a terrifying
one. But it is gory and very, very bloody, but in a different kind of, in a fun way.
Yeah,
you know,
real fun. And I mean, the film straddles the line between being like very tongue-in-cheek and being pretty kind of horror, you know. It strikes a fine balance. I would say maybe like 60-70% of the time the jokes work. There's some particular like real good jokes in it that
I
was cackling.
I mean, there's a Kevin Durand who people might know. He's been in a fair amount. He's been in the Hollywood view for a long time, but he's never really like hugely like big or appreciated.
Yeah.
But he's been in like starring in like, he pops up. It feels like he pops up every 5 or 10 years in like one kind of blockbustery kind of film, and then he disappears again. Like, I remember him being, I think he was like the Blob in like X-Men Origins Wolverine, that terrible, terrible Wolverine film.
I think he was.
You know, and things like that. Like, he's popped up in quite a few films over the years. And he normally tends to be quite a highlight. He's quite a kind of charming dude. And he was a major highlight in this one as Peter.
I think the whole...
He's the one that made me laugh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, non-stop. The one that made me laugh the most was Dan Stevens. We were saying this, like, before we went into the film, obviously. Cinema's coming back. We've got Kingdom of the Planets of the Apes, which is going to be the best film of all time, coming out. But we also had another best film of all time, which was Godzilla X... King Kong, and Dad Stevens was in that, and I watched the whole thing and didn't realise. And I was saying to you, like, I didn't realise he was in it, and he was the best human. And in this film, like, I just think there's something. The whole cast was incredible. Mostly, I think Giancarlo Esposito kind of did his like whole Breaking Bad thing that he's great at doing it, but he has been a bit typecast.
He's not in a lot of this film.
No,
even if you've seen the trailer, I think you get the idea that he's not going to be in a lot of this film. He's kind of a setup, and there's another part that won't be spoiled. But
no,
the one short scene the first short part that he is in is like works for what he is. For what are you expecting to be? I wasn't that keen on his next part. Like,
no,
there was something off about it.
Yeah.
Performance wise, it felt like he wasn't really, like, he was here just to do a little part.
Yeah.
And he didn't really take it that seriously. Whereas other people, I feel like, were much more game, but kind of got it that, you know, we're being tongue in cheek, but we're not tongue in cheek as like the, you know, as the monsters or the things like that. Like, we can have fun with it, but we are also meant to be somewhat scary.
Yeah.
That kind of balance, which he could definitely pull off, but he didn't here.
No.
Just to say that. But
I think that's because he wasn't in it.
Yeah, he wasn't built up like character, which this film actually does do. And like you said before about the, you know, the fact that this film would work so much better if it hadn't given away the main kind of premise. Because when you watch this film, what you will find is it's a good half an hour probably before you get any major horror-y kind of scenes.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, a lot of that is kind of all build up in character, but a lot of it, at no point, like, does it give into the idea of the premise. See, this film literally feels like it was made with the intention that no one would have had a clue what's going on.
Yeah. I think they would have really benefited if they went the barbarian route, where they didn't show anything, and they went into it as, like... Because... I mean,
you could have danced around this in the trailers easily.
Because I won't, no spoilers, everybody knows what it's about. But like the first act, it almost seems to play out as if they're very much like, oh, maybe there's an inside man, you know? Mm. And obviously if you know what's happening going into it, you're like, oh, there's not an inside man. Whereas I think like that might have worked a little bit better had they kept it a bit, you know, what actually happens in the film. A bit in the dark.
I think even if you watch the trailer, to be honest, because of the way that they're selling it, and I do think, sadly, for the directors, I feel like maybe they had the idea that they wanted this to be more that.
Maybe, yeah.
And I feel the studio have gone, no, we need to make sure we're selling this film, so we need to show some of the good stuff and stuff like, and some of the bit. And, you know, even reflecting on the parts I've seen in the trailer, there are some spoilery shots in there that kind of give certain bits away. But I think that with the way that they've shown it, that they kind of could have given, I don't know, this film is not what it shows in the trailer. The trailer makes it out as if this is one of those people are trapped inside of a house with a monster and they're going to get taken out one by one, which seems like kind of, that is kind of the idea, but it's also really not. This film is kind of much more about like the way that they're playing with each other in a kind of way, you see what I mean? Like, it's not a horror film where you're just like, oh, who's going to get taken next? Who's going to get taken next? It's a film that somewhat maybe feels like that at one point, but then kind of turns away from that and doesn't want to delve into that kind of... They don't just want to be that person's gone. Oh, then that person's gone. And then you know, one after the other really quickly to your left. It's not quite that film. There is more to it than I think at one point in the film you might think, oh, this is what we're getting now.
Yeah.
And it's not. Which some people might be disappointed because they might be in the mood for... Because I, in my head, was getting very, like, House on Haunted Hill at one point, you know.
Yeah.
Or even to go back to like Scream, but not their Screams, like Scream 3, you know, the kind of mansion at the end where one by one they're kind of making their you know, and a lot of those kind of, and again, that is very linking to that classic Universal monster movie of kind of, oh, they're in the house now and all one by one in this creepy place, they go to that creepy room.
It's a bit gothic, man.
And it starts to feel a bit like that, what you're getting. And smartly, I think they don't give you that film, because that would have been fine, but it would have been very, very simplistic. And I think they at least try to build a little bit more into this.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think, like going kind of to the performances, I think across the board, I think all of the performances reign. I mean, I wasn't massive on Angus Cloud. I think he was the only one that was a bit off for me. I don't know whether you're supposed to not like his character, but straight off, I was like, something wasn't clicking. But then you had like Catherine Newton, who was great. Kevin Durand, who obviously I always remember him from The Strain.
He
was great in that. Melissa Barrera, I think she was better than this than in Scream. I think maybe this not being so kind of linked to an already established franchise, and her effectively not having to kind of walk in the footsteps of Neve Campbell, she can be in her own a little bit. Mm. And I think that really played to her strengths. Alicia Weir, who played Abigail, was great. And then the man himself, Dan Stevens, just absolutely fucked the whole film. he went between being like, being just this menacing, like, asshole, to just having like so many like witty and funny like one liners.
Oh yeah,
you know? He just
there was parts this, like, this is why I really like Dan Stevens, because the dude can do a serious role and he can knock out the part, but dude can also just have fun.
Yeah.
And if you've seen him in the last few years, it seems like he's pretty much choosing roles because he just wants to have fun with it. Like in Kong, if you've seen that, he's just having a fucking ball. He doesn't care. He's in a blockbuster and he doesn't give a shit. He's like, I'm just here to have a bit of fun.
I'm just here for God's sake.
You know, and if you've seen him in lots of other things, he chooses like a really random range of roles, like in comedy. So if you saw his one thing I loved, he was in Eurovision with Will Ferrell. Really, like, I thought that was surprisingly good. Like, I haven't really rated Will Ferrell's film in a couple of years now. Most of them have not been like amazing.
Yeah.
But that one was really good, and Dan Stevens just fucking nails it in that. He's like this super kind of sexualized Eurovision, like Euro trash kind of guy who's just like has all the party. He's just fucking amazing. Like, he's so good, like singing and dancing, and it's amazing. So yeah, big love for Dan Stevens. But although I do think you somewhat glossed over Alicia Weir, I thought was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, she was awesome.
I thought, as the title character, I'd only seen her in one other thing, and that is she was in Matilda the Musical, which I was in.
I haven't watched that.
Yeah, so I like classic Matilda. If it's not Danny DeVito directed Matilda.
If it's not Danny DeVito abusing his daughter, I don't want to watch it.
That's what I mean. But, you know, and she was fine. She was very good and, you know, and sweet and things like that, much younger then. But in this, I don't think she's done many roles anyway, because I think that might have been her first role. But in this, I mean, she just mixes between that vulnerable child and she's playing with you. And again, it's one of those things, because lots of people know the general premise, you know, in the trailer, you know where it's going. And it's sad because she does such a performance that you kind of... Because of the trailer, I'm like, well, we know that this is probably a game, and we know what this is, and when's all this happening, and when we're going to realise that, you know, you get the idea, there's a little bit of a she's playing with them kind of thing, because that's all given away in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is that little bit sad, because her performance, I think, would have sold you if you didn't know anything of that was coming. If that wasn't known, I think you would have suspected this little girl of something, but you wouldn't know what's going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't know what's happening here. And she's fun both when she is and isn't trying to be, you know, the vampiric character.
Yeah.
You know, and the ballerina thing is fun without being too overplayed and things like that. It has some fun bits, you know, it has its moments, but...
Yeah. And that's the thing that I felt a lot of the comedy was kind of really well done. Horror comedy is always really hard to straddle. I think you either... You end up doing something that's kind of like this effectively, or something like Ready or Not. I remember when we watched that, like, there was times where we were both kind of just creasing, or there were certain moments that just caught us off guard, like every time they kept killing one of the maids, and it's like, it, I think a lot of people struggle, or a lot of directors are now kind of forcing in that, like, Marvel kind of, oh, we need quick quips, or like something needs to happen, or it needs to be like every character needs to be funny and everything needs to be like this. But I think this just did it right at the right moment. There was a bit of comedy.
I think they let the comedy come out of the moment, like as if they actually let it breathe and come out of the moments it was happening, instead of being like, oh, where can we just slot
it? Where can we slot it in?
Yeah.
And it almost, it felt like there was, it felt like, because I think the cast had quite, like, and quite a good chemistry between them, and it had given us time to build, because the first act, you get, like, little bits of comedy, but it's, there is, I don't think there was a
It's quite tonally, it's quite straight and serious at the beginning.
And then once we get, you know, once we get, like, the main twist that obviously everybody knows, but once you get to that and you enter into the, like, surrealism of the situation, you then start to be like, okay, we're actually kind of looking at this, like, in that surreal lens.
Yeah.
And playing with your expectations a little bit and playing with the situation. So it feels kind of well-suited, and it feels natural, because it's not just like, oh, this character's doing a quip. A lot of the jokes are related directly to kind of what's happening, or it just, or at that surreal moment.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were in this situation, you know, and you kind of don't believe it, and then you get some fucking weird stuff that happens, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't want to give them away, there's so many fucking jokes. Yeah,
but it is that kind of knowing, you know, what there's vampires in the film. It does kind of take that in, kind of like, this is like a, they're somewhat, at the beginning, I think it grounds it enough.
Yeah.
That when it becomes surreal, it's like, what the hell do you do in this surreal situation? And that's where some of the comedy comes from, is like, is this actually fucking happening? Like, to the characters, it is kind of like that. And yeah, you have some setup. Karen Duran's character is kind of a dumb character. And that's kind of sold. Which, when I first started hearing him, that's the thing, when they were first introducing him, I was like, okay, odd, kind of odd choice. You're like kind of thinking about it and thinking, you know, this is a character that is in many different kinds of different types of films.
Yeah.
And sometimes is done really well, and sometimes can be like a really bad kind of stereotype of a character, of a dumb, big,
they come off too comic relief.
And this is almost, they lean into the fact that he's meant to almost be, it seemed like he's almost a stereotypical dumb, muscly guy. Like, he's the dumb muscle kind of thing. And they lean into it, but they give him much more layer to it, by to the point where he almost becomes like your, like, at some points, like your favourite character for some reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think all of the characters had,
they all get that moment.
Yeah, they all had a certain, I mean, like I said, I don't think Angus Cloud really clicked with me.
He didn't get a lot to sell.
He didn't get a lot.
Sadly, the parts that he was in for his, is, he was meant to be acting kind of like a jerk, wasn't he? And he just came across as kind of the stoner type, or the meant to be drinking, you know, kind of drunk type or something like that.
Yeah.
But the problem was, like, he'd seemed like that from the very first moment you met him. So therefore, it just didn't feel like he was changing character.
No.
You know, for his detriment. But yeah, we don't really know the actor that well. No, you've literally only just found out.
This is the first thing I've seen of him. I just found out he died.
He died, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I knew that he'd passed away. I'd heard about that from Euphoria and things like that. But yeah, sadly, just basing it purely on performance, it just didn't click for me.
Yeah, not for me.
He just seemed a bit out of place with all of them. And to be fair, in the film, they do reference the fact that he's somewhat out of place, and he's not like the rest of them in the same way. But, you know, it is one of those things. So in terms of those things, yeah. In terms of you know, deaths, there are some fun, you know, there are some fun kind of deaths, and there are some things they do with that. Like we said, there's a little bit of a Ready or Not link back to something here, which does add always just adds a bit of fun, because it's just fun. Always fun to see
it's
something.
It's fun and it's done,
you know,
well.
And you know,
it's good. I think that was probably, that part was my favourite highlight.
There's a few things they play with the vampire kind of what is and what isn't, and I quite liked the way that they tap into some of the changes all of the tropes are kind of thrown out, and yeah. we kind of see what they do with them. You know, the crosses, the garlic, the sunlight. Some of them make some funny joke, like some yeah. funny scenes, and some of them lead to, oh, actually, that's an interesting way to do that kind of change.
Yeah, it's an interesting way. I think just to kind of talk about what I wasn't particularly fan of, and I think it was mainly the ending. I feel very much as if it got to maybe the last like 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
And then they threw a twist in there, and I thought it kind of dragged the ending down, kind of became very generic, and then felt like they needed to do it so they could set up an ending shot, and that's kind of where I'll leave it without giving any spoilers. If you want to hear spoilers, check us on Monday for the spoilers.
I was going to say, because I think I'm thinking around the same parts of you, but I don't know if yours came a little bit earlier or a little bit later than where I was a bit like questionable, because there is some, you know, there's some fun bits in there, but all I would say is, yeah, there is one, you know, actor at the end kind of thing that definitely didn't really sell it for me.
Yeah.
And just to say, you know, whenever you get to these kind of climax and stuff like that, all I would say is, you know, kind of how many pieces of furniture can one person get a throne through?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another, you can put that in whatever context you want.
You
can. That I did get to a point where I was like, all right, I get it at this point. You know, we've done this. Like, how can we wrap this up in some way? And that's not saying I wanted it to end. I just think there was a little bit when there was a slight drag there
at the end,
where it kind of felt like it's done the same thing. And I guess maybe where you want to see a bit more, you know, and there is, you know, and with the, you know, the Abigail character and stuff like that, where I maybe want to see more of her and less of some other stuff, that kind of thing, because I did really like her performance. So. Wrapping up before we move on, and you can move over to our spoiler episode.
we are releasing that on Monday.
Yes.
Overall, I think it was a really good film. I would have liked it if they kept the actual main premise a lot more kind of guarded. I think it just would have made it more effective.
Yeah.
Overall, I think it was a great film. I think it balanced, you know, horror with comedy really well. I would say it was kind of like 60%, you know, horror, 40% comedy, and it struck a good blend of that. It had pretty much incredible performances across the board. I think for the most part it was paced well. There was, you know, some scenes that were quite gross. There was some good, you know, good levels of gore and some moments that did catch me a little bit off guard, particularly when it came to the gore.
Yeah.
Overall, I think it was just the last kind of 10-15 minutes felt as if they tried to put a spin on something. And it just didn't really work that well for me. It kind of felt like just as we're careening towards the end, the wheels fell off a little bit. But overall, I'd really recommend the film.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
It's a fun
ride. Not perfect, but it has a fun twist. They're trying to do some new things with it. And the main thing, I think, is what helps rise it above maybe a little bit was the cast. That the cast are just so game for it all. They're so into it. And I think fantastic performances by Alicia Weir and Dan Stevens also kind of help boost that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've enjoyed this little spoiler-free, come and let us know your thoughts on Abigail. But obviously, keep the spoilers to a minimum. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CMTHpodcast. Please remember to leave us a lovely review and include the words, "They told us to fuck off." And we will see you Monday as we get into our full discussion thoughts. Take care. See you then. Bye-bye.